Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. We'll begin Yud Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We mentioned earlier that one of the Yurches Gzeiras was Netilas Yadayim, that Stam Yadayim, hands which weren't washed previously, would be Matam, would be possible rather the Truma. And then we had a discussion about whether this began with the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel or Shammai and Hillel themselves. The Moriz Maskana was the initiated originally Shammai and Hillel. It was not accepted until the Talmidim had their debate in the Aliyas Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Goren, and they were geyser on the Netilas Yadayim. Frek the Gemara, Makatish Lema Gozer. What do you mean? This Takana of Netilas Yadayim predated Shammai and Hillel and Talmid Shammai Hillel by many, many years. Shlema Melech was geyser on the Netilas Yadayim. Omer of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Misha Shetikin Shlema Erevin on the Netilas Yadayim. At the time that Shlema Melech was Mesaket, the Gzera, the Netilas Yadayim and Erevin, Yotza Baskol, Omra came out of Baskol and says, Bini, Im Chacham Libecha, Yismach Libi Gamani. If you are a Chacham, I will have Simcha as well. Chacham Bini, my son is a chacham, v'samach libi, v'ashivi charfi dover, and I rejoice in my heart, and I'll be able to answer those who disgrace me. Al kolponim, we see that Shlema Melech was misak in the Netilas Yadayim. It predated Shammai and Hillel by many, many years. Rav says Gemara, Asa Shlema v'gazer l'kach, and Achanami, the original takanah of Netilas Yadayim, that hands that weren't washed previously would be matama, but Shlema Melech was only misag in that for kachim, that it would be matama kachim. Va'asa inu v'gozer afle truma, and then Shammai v'Hillel, Talmid Shammai v'Hillel were gozer for truma as well. Gufa Omer Yud Mar Shmuel Yudches agozer ubi Yudches nechleku. There were 18 gzeras, the Yudches over the 18 gzeras, and they argued on these 18, in these 18 places, they argued, and Saif Saif, they made the gzer. I think more about Tanya Hushu, that says that they agreed, or they didn't argue. That day themselves there was a machlekes. They had a debate, and a machlekes they argued about. But the next day they agreed. They all agreed on these 18 gzeres. Gufa Amar Avuna Begimel Makamis Nechleku Shammai v'Hillel. Shammai and Hillel themselves, as opposed to the Talmidim, Shammai and Hillel themselves only argued in three places. Shammai Oimer Mikav Chala. Shammai says, how much flour is there in the batch of dough that one requires one to be mafrish challah? Reshus ha'arisisechem. When we have the dough, we make the dough, we have to be mafrish challah, and then it's given to the kohen. It's one of the matnas kahuna. How much is required? How much, what's the size, the quantity of the flour in the batch of the dough that requires one to be mafrish the challah? Shammai says, a kav. If it's a kav, how much is a kav? What's the size of a kav? In a kav, there are 24 bayim. There are 24 eggs in a kav. So in a kav of challah, there'll be 24 bayim. If there are 24 bayim, the size of 24 bayim, you have a requirement to take challah. That's what Shammai says. They say no, and two. And the requirement is two, meaning 48. They say one and a half kam. So which would imply 36 beim. Which would imply 36 beim is chayin b'challah. And l'maisa, that is the halacha. However, the halacha is not, in our terms, when we say about beim, it's not 36. It's 43.2. As we mentioned before, the Torah says, Ratius arisay sechem. So what is the requirement to take challah? The amount which is a portion of the mon. The mon that people that they had in the midbar, each person had, was asiris ha'efa, was a tenth of an efa. A tenth of an efa, in an efa, there are three saw. And each saw has six kavim. And there are 24 bayim in a kav. So you have 432 bayim in an epha. The size of the mon was asiris ha'efa, a tenth of that. That's 43.2, 43 and a fifth. So it's 43 and a fifth bayim, and that's the halacha, 43 and a fifth bayim, that size of that flower. There is the requirement, if you have that quantity of the flour in the batch of the challah, that's the minimum amount that requires a hafroshes challah. Now, why do we say 36? Because we say 36 because the 43.2 was the size of the measurements that were in the midbar. But when they came to Yerushalayim at a later point in history, the sizes were increased. They increased by a fifth. So 43.2 divided by a fifth is 36. So when we say kava mechsa, we say 36, we're talking in the sizes when the igdilo amidos, when the measurements were increased. So that's the equivalent. They became larger by a fifth. So the equivalent of 36 in the time of Yerushalayim, in the time of the Chacham Yerushalayim, is the equivalent of 43.2, 43 and a fifth of the midbar. Now, mishake dilo amidos, as we mentioned, there was a measurement in the midbar. They came to Yerushalayim, the measurements increased by a fifth. But then again, at a later time, when they came to Tzipori, it again increased by a fifth. So now, when we had in the Yerushalayim, we said a kavu mechsa. We said 1.5 kavim, which is an equivalent to six lugin, a 4 lugin and a kav. So 1.5 is the equivalent to 6 lugin. But when they came to Tzipor, it increased again by a fifth. So the 6 now became 5. The 6th of the middle level of size of the lugin now became 5. Again, you divide the 6 and it became increased by a fifth. So now the 6 now becomes 5 of the larger lugin. That's chayim b'chalam. Rav Yosef Emer, hey peturim, 5 you're still potter, hey v'oid chayovim. It has to be a little bit more because Rashi says the bayim in the midbar were a little bit larger than our eggs. So therefore you need somewhat larger to make it equivalent to the bayim that were in the midbar. So this difference of 1.5 kavim, or we say 43.2 bayim, or we say 36 bayim, or we say chameshes revoim, really just they're the same measurements, but it a different way of defining it, because their measurements are changed in size. They increase a fifth in two increments in two stages over history. So therefore, this is really the equivalent when we say chameshes revoim. And Tzipori is really the equivalent of 43.2, 43 and a fifth. Ravi says you need a little bit larger to make it equivalent to the size of the eggs that were in the midbar. So how much water of the Mayim Shuvim passed the mikveh? The amount of the quantity of the water, of drawn water, Shuvim that passed the mikveh, is molei ahin. Ahin is 12 lugin. Ahin is 12 lugin, and as we said, there are 4 lugin in a kav, so that's the equivalent of 3 kavin. Of 3 kavin of drawn water passed the mikveh. Now, why did he use the lashon of hin? Hin is the lashon that's used in the mikra, in the psukim, but Chazal don't use hin. They use the measurements of kavin, lugin. Don't use his. Why did he mention hin? Shechai vadam lomir lashon rabbi. Because he has to say it in the lashon of his rebbe, and that was the Messiah that was brought down, that this they used that lashon of hin, so therefore, that's the lashon that he used as well. So that's how we heard it from Shammai Shmai Vavtalion, so he used that Loshan as well. Shammai Oimer Tisha Kabin. He says, no, it's not a hin which is three carbon, it's tisha carbon, it's nine carbon, three times as much. They said neither of them is correct. Until two weavers came and they were at the Shara Ashba Shabir Shalim, the Heidu, Mishum Shmaya, the Aftalian, and they were Meyer, that what is the amount? Is Shloisha, Shloisha, Lugim, Maim, Shugim, Paisimus, and Mikra. They were Meyer, that is three Lugim. That it's only three logim that passes the mikveh. It's the smallest share, even three logim, and the chomer mekayim, and that's the amount of drawn water that passes the mikveh. What's the other takana shamayim? Kol noshim dain shait. A woman who has a ri of dam, she's tmeya, she's a nida, and her touching of kachim, of truma kachim, will be matamet, passel it, be matamet. So Shammai says, "Kol anoshim dain shaita." If a woman has a ri'ia, we at the time that she sees. Now, since in those days they were zohar and tumantara, they used to be biting themselves constantly. So Shammai says, a woman has a ri'ia. We don't have to be concerned that really there was a ri'ia stam earlier. Perhaps that she really was a tmei anita earlier and she didn't realize it until now. We don't have to be chayshish. Therefore, whatever she touched prior to this Ria, we will assume still has a status of being tar. It still remains in its status as being tar. It's only from then on, now that she has a Ria, she knows that she's Tomeya, it's from then on that now we anything that she touches will become Tomei. But we don't have to be concerned about what she touched prior to the Ria, that perhaps she really was in Nida, she didn't realize it, and she was in Nida. That's what Shammai said, Dain Shait, and it's enough from the time that they saw the Dam. The Hillel Omer, no, you have to be Cheshish that she was really Tameya beforehand. And what she touched beforehand will become Tomei. How far back do you have to go? Mi Pekira Le Pekira. From the last time she did a Bedika. From last time she examined herself, even if it was days ago, you still have to be chayshish that perhaps immediately after the bedika, she really had a re'iyas dam. She didn't realize it, and she was tamea immediately after the last bedika. So anything that she touched after the last bedika is tamei. They said, like neither them, Ella, me ace la ace, me might, ali de me pekida la pekida, or me pekida la pekida, me might, ali de me ace la ace. They say it is the lesser of the last bedika, but you don't go back, like Hillel says, days earlier. It's the lesser of the last bedika or 24 hours. So if her last bedika were days ago, you don't go back to the last bedika. You go back, the maximum you go back is 24 hours. From the time that she sees this re'ia, the most that you will go back is 24 hours earlier and anything that she touched within that 24 hours. However, if she had a bedika within the 24 hours, you don't go back 24 hours, you go only to the last bedika. So Shammai says you don't have to be concerned at all. Hillel says you go back to the last bedika. The Chum say it's the lesser of the last bedika or 24 hours. We don't have any other cases where they argued. If you bring a korban on yontiv, do you do smicha, the leaning on the animal, the mitzvah smicha, is it done on yontiv or not? And we see we had this machlekes. Gemara says no. Ki kamar afuneh the leka plukta the ravusa bahadaya. Yes, it's true that they argued on this case, but we're listing only these three cases where there is no other argument. I mean, it's a machlekes between Shammai and Hillel. But in a case where it's a friyadik machlekes that the rabbanim argued for years, like the case of smicha where they argued much earlier on it, then we're not discussing that case. And in the case of smicha, that was a long-standing machlokes. Yes, Hillel and Shammai argued about it. They argued about it much earlier as well. So that is not in the category of what we're discussing in the three places. Prek the Gemara v'ha'ika b'itzalagas. We still have another place where they argue if a person picks grapes to take to the wine press. Now the halacha is that a food will be mekabel tuma if it's hukshul kabel tumah, if prior to coming into contact with the tumah, it came into contact with a liquid, one of the seven liquids. If it's not hukshul kabel tumah, it's not makabel tumah. Now, a person, he picks fruit, and if there's some liquid that flows from the fruit, normally a person's not happy with that. He doesn't want it to flow out. It goes to waste. It's not something he's happy with. Now, it has to be that the food comes into contact with a liquid. After, for instance, the fruit was picked, it comes into contact with a liquid. But it has to be only in a case where the person is happy with that. He's nicha with it. It's yutan demedeitain, just like when a person would put the liquid on, he's doing it consciously, so he wants to do it. Now, it doesn't have to be that the liquid comes into contact with the food by his own action, but it has to be dumya, has to be similar, where he's nicha, where he wants it. He's happy with it. Normally, when you pick fruit, you're not happy with the liquid that flows from it. So normally when you pick, if you would pick a grape and for harvesting for the fruit and the liquid flows out, it would not be matcher the kabel tuma because you're not nicha with that. You're not happy with that. The machlokes hil and shamai revolves around the case where a person is picking the grapes for the wine press, specifically for the wine press. Now, sometimes a person would, if he's taking it to the wine press, would take it in a sealed container so that the liquid does not drip out. And if he does it in a sealed container, then he's happy with the liquid because it's going to be squeezed through the juice anyway. And since it's sealed, it's not going to flow out. So the question revolves around the case where he did not use a sealed container. Are we geyser in such a case where it's, let's say, a wicker basket? So essentially, he's not happy with the liquid that flows. It'll go to waste. But are we geyser also a case where he uses a sealed container? So Shammai says, it is hochsher. We're geyser also a case where he uses it and it's sealed. And in a case where it's sealed and he's taking it to the wine press, he is happy with the liquid that flows out. There is machsher. So they say, generally, it's machsher. So we see that there's another case that they argue. The Gemara says, bar minei dahi. No, that's excluded. We list that case as one of the cases that they argue. The hasam kashosik lehil l'shamai. Because over there, when Hillel l'shamai presented his arguments, Hillel was quiet. He didn't refute it. He didn't refute it, rather. And therefore, as we say over there, and that's not in the list because he was silent in the face of Shammai's arguments. So therefore, it's not listed as one of the cases that they argue.